This is Power Players with Dan Clark.
Hey, it's Dan. Welcome to Power Players with Dan Clark. One of the highlights of each week, one of the highlights of my life, is to interview student athletes from the University of Utah, my alma mater, where we all know I played football and baseball. And I didn't say I was great. I said I played football and baseball. And today's episode is unbelievable. There used to be a show on TV before Lanny White was ever born called The Rising Star. And as we in the entertainment business, as we talk about superstars in the world, we have a tendency to say she has it or he has it. It's the it factor, and it's an intangible. And as I talk to producers, I just watched the magnificent documentary on Quincy Jones last night on TV, and I've met him a couple of times. When you get around superstars like that and start to brainstorm, we've all decided you can't coach it and you can't teach it. You either have it or you don't. And we have Lanny White, who's a brand new sophomore. And last year as a freshman, she scored 11 points against the University of Washington, went 4 for 6 from the floor, 2 from downtown. She's from Maitre D High School in Irvine, California. I've been there. And 3-time all-conference academic, which is so important because the University of Utah puts so much emphasis on making sure our student athletes get that great education that the U is famous for. And she was a McDonald's All-American West nominee. Big time. 5'11". Come on, girl. 5'11".
Yeah.
Shooting guard with every one of the skills that we call the it factor. Welcome to our podcast, Lanny, and welcome to Utah. We are so proud of you and how well you represent us fans and former players at the U.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
So tell us about your journey. Tell us about your athleticism. Tell us about growing up. I understand you have a couple of siblings. Yeah. Did you come from an athletic family? When did you find out that basketball was so natural? Did you play other sports? I'll stop talking. Just kind of give us the background.
So, believe it or not, I did come from an athletic family. My dad and mom played basketball since they were young all the way up until college at University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And then My dad got drafted number 6 in the first round. So that's kind of where I get my athleticism from. And watching my dad while I was growing up, he was the reason I started playing basketball. And believe it or not, he's been a great mentor, great coach, trainer. But yeah, I started playing basketball because of him and my mom too. I'm going to give her credit as well. But yeah, I came from a family full of athletes. My siblings, my sister actually plays ice hockey and my brother plays baseball at Mater Dei. So just people like to call my family a freak of natures. So yeah, I came from a lifeline of athletes.
And way to tactfully, in your first class way, call me out. I called it Mater Dei. Who am I?
You know, it's okay. It's commonly mistaken. Not a big deal.
Let's just call it the School of Champions.
I like it.
So did you play any other sports? I'm really a big fan of cross training, and I want to know what you do in the off season as a young girl growing up to make sure your basketball skills were always finely tuned. Did you only play basketball?
I mean, for the most part, yeah. When I was younger, I played like soccer, flag football up until middle school before high school. And then I've skateboarded my whole life, which, yeah, like competitively. So I think that catches a lot of people off guard. But I've done that since I was little and I still do it. And it's not like skateboarding when you think like I just ride up and down the streets. Like I actually go to skate parks and I used to do competitions when I was younger. So yeah, it's a little fun fact about me, but
Let's talk, because in our day and age, my friend, too many coaches at a young age, they try to force us to be a one sport athlete.
Correct.
And I came from a different generation. I played football and I played both ways, offensive. I played basketball, I played baseball, I ran track. And my third game, I had a great junior year. That's when I got all my accolades. In my third game of my senior year, I got hurt and I thought my scholarships were in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And because I played basketball, the recruiters could see that I still had athleticism, that I could still jump. I still could go left and right, just north and south. And when you bring up skateboarding, with all due respect, I've interviewed some of the biggest game athletes on the planet, and I've never heard one who's a skateboarder. But as a high school coach, we would go down to the soccer fields and recruit these soccer players, and they became our best wide receivers because of their sense of balance and understanding of body. And talk to us a little bit about what skateboarding has done for you as far as turning you into this extraordinary athlete. And I'm saying basketball is awesome.
Yeah.
But when I was in great shape as a football player, and I would go immediately into basketball season, I was in great shape as a football player, but I was in lousy shape as a basketball player because I used different muscles.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, teach us a little bit about competitive skateboarding. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's very different, and a lot of people don't really catch on to it. But I think just skateboarding, like growing up, I learned how to fall a lot, and I learned how to fall and get up really quick. But I think it takes a lot of like focus and like coordination, and you got to learn, and it's like doing repetitive movements over and over, and balance. Like you said, I think I learned great balance because it's hard to sit on four wheels, let me tell you. And just, I don't know, I feel like it takes a lot of technique and focus and like determination and devotion to like do something like that. But let alone just, like I said, devotion just to stick to something like that. It's not something that many people do. It's kind of embarrassing to talk about, but I take pride in it.
This podcast episode is sponsored by Master Electrical Service. Thank you for sponsoring and supporting our University of Utah student athletes. So let's go there. So I've interviewed gymnasts, and two of my three daughters were gymnasts. They won the state championship. And when you put together an entire routine on the balance beam or on the bars, you have to isolate one event, one element of that entire routine at a time.
Yeah.
I suppose that's what you had to do as a skateboarder. You had to say, okay, how do I flip my skateboard over? Or what's the most fundamental trick that you had to learn first before you could advance? And then I'm going to tie that into basketball skills. How do you itemize what skills you need to work on, which ones you're strong at, which ones you're weak at, to take your basketball game to the highest level? But I see the correlation. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
It's back to learning one skill and how it built into the next one as a skateboarder.
I'd honestly probably talk about the ollie. It's a weird name, but it's just the basic jump. And that was something that took me honestly a while to get. I don't think I learned it until I was like 7 or 8.
The basic jump. What do you mean? You went off the ground 1 inch, or did you go off the ground 15 feet?
I wish, but no. It was just a simple jump off the curb in front of the house. Just simple jump, hard, but I mean, I did it. So, yeah.
And how many times did you crash and burn before you got it?
Oh my God. Probably too many to count. I'm going to be honest. My mom was worried. I have scars all over my knees, elbows. I think my mom was worried, for God's sake, that I didn't break a bone, but I didn't. So.
Okay. So now equate that to basketball. As a sophomore, as an up and coming rising star, and you've already come into your own. You're so mature. I've watched you play. Excuse me. So what do you think is your strongest skill right now? And what is your, I don't think you have a weak skill. What is your less strong, if that's even a word, skill? And with that skateboarder's mindset, what do you do on a daily basis in practice or before practice or after practice to isolate one skill at a time to make sure you're the best version of yourself?
I would say my strong suit is probably going to be my athleticism. I'm going to refer back to something that you said in the introduction. It's not something that you can teach. It's not something that you learn. It's kind of something that you're born with. And I think I incorporate my athleticism a lot in my game. I think it catches my coaches, the opponent, my teammates kind of off guard because they're like, whoa, where did that come from? So I use that to the best of my ability as possible. I'm telling you right now, I'll pull anything out of the backpack. I'll try anything in the book with my athleticism.
So let's talk about what that means. Maybe some viewers don't know what athleticism is. What's your definition? And then I'll just nod my head if I agree.
I think everyone can learn the fundamentals. I think every sport is easy. It's not easy to teach, but it's something that you can learn. But I think just having athleticism just gives you that little upper hand. Like, you might be able to do something that someone else can't. Like, you might be able to jump 3 inches and I can jump 4 more inches higher than you just because of, you know, the way I was built.
Okay.
I think you just have the upper hand.
I'm nodding my head. What you said was more profound than you think. Anybody can learn to dribble with their left hand or right hand or shoot.
Correct.
You know, get the skills down if they practice.
Correct.
But what you bring to the table are those intangibles that you really can't practice. It's like instinctively you're able to do this on the fly.
Right. Right.
Okay, so how did we get you to come to the University of Utah? Come on.
So I did not want to go far from home, but I didn't want to stay at home. But when I had met the coaches, when I got the first initial call from one of the assistants, the pitch was amazing.
What did they say?
They just, sorry? Clean.
What did they say?
Well, no, they just... No, never. I'm a very academically driven kid. And, you know, I think they saw that when they were recruiting me, like just with my grades and transcripts and just speaking to my coaches from high school. So they had pitched that, you know, my academic goals would be matched and that they'd meet them and my expectations would go beyond than what I thought. And they'd give me every opportunity possible for me to, you know, just achieve what I want to with my future endeavors. So I would say my academics got me here first, but the coaching staff and the players. And when I came on my visit, I got a sense of when I first stepped onto campus, it was like where I was meant to be. And my mom told me throughout the whole recruiting process, like, you're going to know where you want to be once you get there. And I was like, haha, like, mom, you're just saying what every mom says. But then I got there and I was like, I had a sense of comfortability and I got, I told my coaches, I was like, it feels like a sisterhood. Like, this is something that not every team gets. And I got there and I was just incorporated into the team so easily. And I don't know, I just fell in love with the coaches and their whole system. It was just something that I grasped onto very easily. So just for them to meet my academic expectations and something that I truly wanted beyond school and basketball. And then also just to get that family feeling within a program that I get to play for, who wouldn't accept that offer, you know? So yeah, I think Utah offered more than what the eye can see. And that's why I took forth on the opportunity.
Very cool. Great answer. They'll use that in a recruiting video you watch.
Yeah, 100%.
So I remember when I was recruited, I think recruiters in any sport know how significant our mothers influences.
Yeah.
And with all due respect to your dad, but that was great advice of your mom. Go with your gut and, you know, go with who you really are and how you make you feel. So out of curiosity, what time of the year did you come on your visits?
Oh, I think it was sometime in November.
Because you're a Southern Cal gal and all of a sudden you show up in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Did that sway you at all? Or are you saying, wait a minute, this is still cool?
Yeah, no, I had lived in snow before. I lived in Japan for a little bit. I lived in North Carolina, so snow wasn't something new to me. So when I did come on my visit, it was starting to get a little chilly, you know, Utah weather. But that wasn't something that was like, oh, cold, like just throw on a jacket. You know, I'm a hooper. I stay inside. So, you know,
funny.
The cold doesn't faze me like you football and baseball players.
So your dad was an influence, your sweet mother was an influence, but mm-hmm. who outside of your family, who on the court has inspired you since the time you can remember?
Probably Kobe Bryant is a big one, but my dad too played, so I'm gonna say my dad as well.
I love it.
Yeah,
he has raised you well, my friend. He's got the right answers.
He has.
So why Kobe? Is it that Mamba mindset, that mentality? Because one of the greatest interviews, I'm sure you've seen it, but it's just so amazing to me because I've referred to it so many times. He's sitting in an interview, and the sportscaster shows him a video of him coming down the floor on a 3-on-1 break, mm-hmm. and he keeps the ball and takes it to the hoop himself. And he clicks it off, and the sportscaster, Kobe, rumor has it, you hoard the ball, you never pass.
Yeah.
And Kobe says, why should I pass it to somebody who doesn't work as hard as I do? Mm-hmm. Why should I pass it to somebody who might miss when I know I've shot more shots than anyone on the team? Mm-hmm. And I guarantee I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
So I bring that up because you are a leader off the court and a leader on the court. I've done my research, my friend. You're awesome.
Thank you.
So what do you do when other teammates don't seem to have the same level of conviction that you do? You know, it's been cool for me as a Ute to just watch the rise of our women's basketball program and to see how we went last year, and to know in your heart and in our hearts, mm-hmm. you should have beat LSU. We know that. National champs. There's no doubt.
100%.
Ball, you know, bounces a couple of times in the different direction going down the chutes.
Yeah.
So talk to us about the mindset of being a leader. How do you get your other players on your team to realize how sacred this opportunity is of a lifetime? I was injured pretty seriously playing ball. When I go to a game, I would give anything just to run down on one more kickoff. I give anything to play one more play.
Yeah.
And those who take that for granted, it troubles me. So talk to us about the example, the urgency, the opportunity of a lifetime that you're so humble. I'm so impressed. Talk to us about what you do and then how you can influence athletes perhaps who don't catch the same level of intensity that you have.
Yeah, you know, I will say I can't say too much. I am only a sophomore, but I have been in that leadership position, and I feel as if at the program that I'm in, that all of us are leaders. And I feel like our coaches have put a heavy emphasis on that all of us are leaders, but you know, everyone carries their own weight and everyone brings their own aspect. So, you know, going through now my second year, you see a lot of different players, a lot of different characters, a lot of different personalities. And I feel like that just off that basic, like initial reaction and encounter, that's where you can like tell, like, what's she going to bring? What am I going to bring? And how are we going to help one another? And I think, you know, my freshman year, I wouldn't say I took on too much of a leadership role. I was kind of like, I was the goofball. So my leadership role was honestly kind of just to like lighten the mood and, you know, do whatever was best for my teammates. I did my best to motivate someone. So, you know, now that I'm a sophomore and I can kind of take that leadership role on, you know, I feel like my position now is still as that motivator, but also to kind of help everyone stay engaged. You know, it's kind of hard to do that. And, you know, it's hard to stay engaged this far in the season. You know, college basketball, college sports in general, it's a long season. So, you know, my role now is kind of just like motivate, like, hey, we're halfway there. We're almost there. The glass is halfway full. It's not half empty. Like I'm telling you, you still have gas in the tank. So that is my role as a leader on the team. You know, my other teammates, they got their own aspects, but me personally, I'm just here to keep everyone together, the glue.
Great answer. Yeah. And your glass is not half empty or half full. It's refillable, girl.
Yes, 100%. I like that one.
This episode of Power Players with Dan Clark is sponsored by Master Electrical Service. Okay, so let's talk about game day. How do you prepare for a game? How do you stop from being so tied and so tense and so tight? Mm-hmm. When do you start pulling that rubber band, as we say, for game, for tip-off?
Honestly, I'm going to say after pregame meal, I have like 3 hours to just get my myself in the right headspace. And as energetic as I seem, you know, my pregame ritual is I have to drink a blue Pedialyte. That's a superstition of mine. A blue Pedialyte, blue electrolytes, anything blue. And then I actually listen to like calm, like sleeping music, like waves crashing or the floor. Like I have to be so content with myself where I am. I like to ground myself where my feet are. And then I feel like once that ball goes up in the air, that's when I can unleash the beast, you know?
Very cool. So how do you recover after the game? What's the process? Ice the knees, go into the training room, cold plunge. Give us the inside scoop on what you do, my friend.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I hate the ice bath, ice packs. I don't do it. I can't. So I'm a big stretcher. I like to just, I go home, you know, I do what I got to do. And I just sit on the ground and stretch. Like I can't get in the cold tub as much as it, as it's cold here. I can't do the cold tub.
That's such a good answer. That's so funny. Okay. So let's get really personal. What's your favorite food?
Oh, that's a hard one. Probably lasagna. My mom makes some fire lasagna.
Can you cook? So you have DoorDash on speed dial.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Prime member.
What's your favorite music? Not pregame music, but if you're just chilling or if you're out with your friends, what do you like to listen to?
R&B. Something calm. Something calm. I don't like super light.
Who's your fave?
Brent Faiyaz. Have you heard of him?
No.
No, yeah. He just makes just calm music. Speaks from the heart.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's switch the gears to NIL. So your favorite food is lasagna. If there's a restaurateur out there listening to this podcast, please step up and give her some like 10-punch coupons to take her friends.
Yeah, please, please, if you're out there
Italian.
I love Italian food.
Okay, so now let's talk cars. What's your favorite automobile? And any car dealers listening on the NIL, come on, step it up. Step it up. What's your favorite?
If we're talking NIL, anything that'll get me from point A to point B.
You're so funny. Don't be so humble. You know, you don't want to rust it out, you know, 40,000. Go for the big one.
You know, I like me a classic, like nothing too flashy. So I'm going to say probably a Ford Bronco Wild Trek.
I'm impressed. You are so grounded. This is so cool.
Thank you.
But you have aspirations with your athleticism and your amazing talent and your size. I mean, it's your WNBA size for a guard.
Yeah.
But those aspirations, have you always dreamed about going into the big league?
I have ever since I was a little girl. You know, I saw my dad go through the whole process of he was the big star, you know, and it's not that I thrived for that attention, but just being able to say like, I did it. And there's kids out there who are looking up to me and they want to be in the position that I am. So, you know, going professional and just getting to continue and pursue what I love to do every day honestly sounds like a blessing. Yeah, I would 100% take a professional basketball job over anything.
And that's so beautiful from a parent's perspective, because we need more superstars who take role modeling being very, very serious, or being a role model very serious.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So what about your education? I looked up criminology and I'm like, is that because you want to be able to relate better with the football players? Or why are you studying criminology? And that was a joke. A joke. Why criminology? And what do you want to do when you get through with your career?
So I chose criminology because I've always had an aspiration for just our criminal justice system in general. You know, I find it fascinating every day just kind of seeing what goes on and how legislature changes and everything. Like I like to dive in, but you know, I've always wanted to pursue law. So I'm hoping that my criminology degree can take me into law school. I want to be an attorney. You know, I want to be the voice for those who can't be heard. You know, I take a lot of pride in that. My mom studied criminology too. And she always told me about like things that she heard in class or, you know, what happened on the news. And I was always like, as a little girl, I was like, mommy, I'll stick up for them. Like, you know, I'll be the voice, you know? So I've always found interest in that. And that's something that, you know, I'd love to pursue further on beyond my basketball career.
You know, one of the great blessings of going to the University of Utah is our fan base and our connections. And as an athlete, you know, you get introduced to the movers and shakers. And in my generation, I could whip off multiple names of guys, actually basketball players who went on to medical school and guys who went to law school. And so, you know, the future's bright, my friend. There's doors opening up, especially you're so poised. You're so articulate. I'm so proud. I'm so impressed.
Thank you.
So as we wind down our time here, what would you say to young kids who have not been blessed as you and I have growing up in a great family, great role model parents? You know, is their only hope to pursue sports? Is that their only way up the ladder, the socioeconomic ladder? Or you're such an amalgamation mix of brains and brawn, you know, of athleticism and the smarts that go along with it. Start kind of put on the role model, big sister hat for a second, and just kind of talk to us about what you think what young girls who may be watching this need to know about life and about disappointment and discouragement and how to deal with it. And, you know, if you miss the game-winning shot, what do, Michael Jordan? You keep shooting, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm sure everyone's heard it that, like, you know, within your sport, it's bigger than basketball. It's bigger than football. It's bigger than baseball. And there's always going to be those trials and tribulations throughout your sport. And I think for you to be successful, you have to be content where your feet are. You know, if you may be in the worst position ever, but, you know, if you're getting those extra shots up, or if you're doing the extra work, like, you have to do that extra when no one's watching. Because I'm going to be honest, no one cares what you're doing behind closed doors. But until you get on that stage and until you get on that field or on that court, that's when it matters. So, you know, regardless of what you're going through and, you know, what setbacks might be beyond you, you know, it comes down to that work that you put in always, 100%. It's always going to be that work. And if you can't do that, work on your mental. Like, you know, every sport is more than just a physical game. It's a mental game. You know, you gotta put yourself through that hardship, you know, that's what it comes down to, because that fourth quarter, 3 seconds on the clock, and you got to make the play. Like, what are you going to do? Cause you got to mentally be there before your feet are.
Hey, hot seat, what's more important, talent, skill, or attitude?
Attitude, 100%.
What's more important, physical skill or work ethic?
Work ethic.
What's more important, being a crowd favorite or being a team favorite?
Team favorite.
Who's the toughest player you've played against so far, or the toughest player in the Pac-12, now the Big 12 or Big 15 or whatever, the Big 97 that we're joining? who's a player that you admire, that even on the bench, not just being on the floor, but when you're resting, when you're waiting to go in, who's someone that in any league as a female athlete, who's someone that you respect and that you think epitomizes everything that a college athlete needs to be? A female college athlete needs to be.
I'm going to hold it down with Alyssa Peely. You know, she has been one heck of a role model.
She's a youth.
Yes, she is a youth.
I know. I want to make sure everybody knows that. I interviewed her last year.
she is a youth.
Transferred. Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable, is she not?
So talk about it. You know, let's suck up to her a little bit. I'll text her and make sure she watches this in a couple of weeks. Why her? Of all the players... ladies and gentlemen, she's an undersized center, if you will. And I can't even do her justice. Kind of describe her athleticism, her ability to take it to the hoop, her ability to play kind of, I don't want to call it small ball, but there's a lot of folks in the league who are a lot taller than she is. And yet she steps it up, right? So teach us about that mindset. Teach us about that physicality, that finesse. Come on.
Alyssa Peely is something else. I'll tell you right now, she's unreal. She's a freak of nature. But she may be as tough and mean as she looks on the court, but that girl has heart. And, you know, coming in as a freshman, and it too was her first year, but she took an initiative her first year at Utah. And, you know, I commend her for that, because, you know, she was like a freshman again at a new school, you know, but she took a lot of leadership on with her role here. And, you know, I admire her so much, because she does a lot on and off the court, and she's one hell of a player on the court, but off the court, that girl's got heart. She has a good head on her shoulders, and her moral compass is straight. You know, I look up to her a lot.
That's so cool. Wouldn't that be cool that someone would say that about you?
I know.
Anybody else? This episode is brought to you by Master Electrical Service, one of the premier organizations in the state of Utah who support our student athletes at the University of Utah. Okay, so last question, my dear friend. So look into the camera and give your best, you called it a sales pitch. Let's call it a serve pitch of why a mother and a father out there somewhere in the world, you know, maybe it's Europe, maybe it's Australia, maybe it's Slovakia, a parent out there watching this, and then they have a young daughter and they're trying to help her decide her future. Look into the camera, give us your best commercial on why a young woman, and you're a beautiful soul, why someone like you would want to, or why they should come to our beloved University of Utah.
Let me put on my game face. The University of Utah is not only a beautiful place to be, but it is a loving place to be. Your student, your child will not only get love and care, but they will get beyond recognition that they deserve, but will be mostly appreciated. This school is much more than what the eye can see, but it's like a family. It's a community that your kid will be appreciated and loved and constantly cared for.
That was beautiful.
And thank you.
I was saying that any NIL company that wants to get more out of a dollar, more than a dollar, it's about relationships.
100%.
Here's a chance for us to step up and align ourselves with Miss White. I'm so impressed.
Thank you.
I can speak for all the fans. So how do we get a hold of you? Social media, how do we follow you? How do we subscribe to your multi-million dollar NIL package?
No. You can find me on Instagram at Lonnie White, LaniWhiteE. Facebook, the same at. Find me on those two platforms.
Okay, let's not leave her hanging, gang. We've got to step it up. Show her the love. Don't just tell her the love. So this is Dan Clark, Power Players podcast, again with an amazing interview with one of our super, superstar it factor female student athletes, Lonnie White. And I appreciate you for joining us here today. You're amazing, and your parents can be so blooming proud.
Thank you, Dan. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed on the Power Players podcast do not necessarily reflect those of KUTV or Sinclair Broadcast Group.